The Piano Matters is supported by Jacobs Music in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, the area representative of Steinway & Sons for new and previously owned Steinway pianos. More information is available at jacobsmusic.com. It's the time, and the time is for the Piano Matters. And I'll be bringing you great piano playing, some good piano playing, never bad piano playing. Don't miss a 16th note, let alone a rest. There are many things that you may not know, and that means for me, you're going to have an adventure. So much of the gigantic literature of the piano, so marvelous, is yet unknown. What's the reason? Well, time is a premium for performers. Are you going to spend hours after hour on Beethoven, which gives spiritual sustenance? Or are you going to try to learn something worthy but little known? And thank goodness for recordings, because the concert hall concentrates 95% on the established works. A pity, but true. So you just won't hear a Leslie Adams etude, or a Casa de Su Sonata, or Humoresque's Bagatelle by Nielsen. And we will hear those today. They have blissfully been recorded on records. And if you buy recordings, you're also likely to buy Mozart or Bach. So where are we? Well, you are with me and the Piano Matters. And here is where you get the Casa de Su, the Nielsen, the neglected works of Liszt, and you get the piano masters such as Chopin and Brahms, all you want. But our framework in an hour brings you so many things, so many different styles of piano play. We begin with Maria Corley. She's a former student of mine at Juilliard, and she's going to play an etude in D major, the sixth of 12 etudes by the Cleveland composer H. Leslie Adams.
Thank you.
Well done, Maria Corley. And I'm certain that Leslie Adams is pleased that you thought it important to bring to recording his 12 etudes. In fact, I remember both of you playing some of those in my class at Juilliard. What a nice man Mr. Adams is. Here is a good quote by James Baldwin. People ought to do what they want to do. What else are they alive for? Ah, yes, Mr. Baldwin, but it's not always easy or feasible to do what you like. And heaven knows if you're born in the wrong country that gives you nothing, things can be difficult to do what you want. The third Chopin scherzo in C-sharp minor, Opus 39, composed in 1838 in Mallorca during those terrible winter months when he was there with George Sand on a supposed honeymoon. Well, the beloved scherzo is a work of pianistic ingenuity. Note the gorgeous descending arpeggiation in both hands after the chordal, chorale-like introduction. There's irony in the piece. There is fierceness. There's lyricism. And note the finger-breaking coda. I have for you Ivo Pogorelish, controversial pianist indeed. So here is the third scherzo, Ivo Pogorelish, from 1998. Thank you. Third Scherzo by Chopin, Pogorelisch. He plays it very well, of course, technically. It was in 8 minutes, though, and for me, a minute too slow, even a minute and a half. My bloodstream demands more motion. There are many details that Pogorelisch brings out, but they're his own details. They don't always fit. Well, the D-flat section, the chorale theme, is too slow for me. Pogorelisch is a great talent. However, in especially Chopin, for some reason, he keeps the forward motion lacking, and that's so necessary in this scherzo. In fact, it must not stop at all. Listen to the very strange but interesting non-stop performance by Rachmaninoff. Well, there were details that I thought were for effect only, but I was intrigued by the performances. I'm intrigued by most of the work of Ivo Pogorelisch, Croatian pianist. Well, if I didn't care for it, what did you think? You may have adored it. From the great permanent repertoire, the international repertoire, which is performed in concert halls, we move to the six humoresque bagatelles of Carl Nielsen, quite unknown. But he's justly the most eminent Danish composer of his time, and things like the Symphonie Espansiva are masterworks. And his date is 1865. I think that's the same year as the other Scandinavian master, Sibelius. He lived till 1931, Nielsen did. Here is the six humoresque bagatelles played by Christina Björkö, Bjorkoe. Thank you. You just heard Christina Bjorko playing Nielsen's Bagatelle's Humoresque. Sorry, the Humoresque's Bagatelle's, a product of 1897 through 1905. And congratulations for recording the complete Nielsen piano music. And by the way, pianists wanting to look at a very large, important Scandinavian work by Nielsen, take a look at the extraordinary Opus 45 Suite for Piano, dedicated to Schnabel, who played it at its premiere, I believe, in 1920. I'm pleased to be with you. I'm David Dubal, and listening closely with you. I hope you had a good week, and if you didn't, I can say I didn't either. Who are the most famous knights of King Arthur's Round Table? Well, I'm not going to go through all 12, and Sir Walter Scott actually thinks there's 18. But I think Lancelot, Tristram, Mard, Tor, and of course Galahad. What a great name, Galahad. Well, dear listeners, I just panned the Pogarella Chopin Scherzo, but I know how well he plays the D minor K1 of Scarlatti. Nothing to complain about there, Ivo Pogarelis, who hasn't played in New York for some time. I'd like to hear him again. Just played the D minor, K1, Scarlatti Sonata. From Scarlatti to Robert Casadesus is a big leap. Casadesus is best known as one of the major French pianists of his era. He was born in 1899, and he was already well known by 1922, and he died too young in 1972. And there's a plaque on his house in Paris. I think that's fitting. He composed in every form, on the train, in restaurants, wherever he had that moment from his busy concert schedule. And I think there's 8 symphonies even, but there's piano concertos, piano music, and we have 4 piano sonatas, and we're going to listen to the last movement of the 4th piano sonata, and it's played by Jean-François Bouvary. was the fourth movement of the fourth sonata, Opus 56, and it was marked Giocoso Non Troppo Vivo, pianist Jean-François Bouveri. And again, I thank Recordings for making this happen, or we would never have a chance to hear these pieces. And thank you, Thomas Edison. This is The Piano Matters, and we do matter. And if at all possible, give what support you can to make what we do happen and to make it available to you for many years to come. I can't imagine a world without the art of music. Fontenelle said, "I hate war. It ruins conversation." Let's turn to the magnificent poetic effusion of the Larghetto movement of Chopin's F minor concerto, his number 2. Written, yes, when the great Pole of the pianoforte was just 19 years old. I would have liked to have been at the premiere at the Warsaw National Theater when Chopin himself played it. This is love music of such tenderness, and Chopin at the time of this composition was in love with a soprano, her name Constancia Gladkovska. And only many years after the fact did Gladkovska find out that she had been Chopin's youthful heart's desire. Let's have Arthur Rubinstein, famous, of course, for his Chopin playing. And here he is with Alfred Wallenstein, conducting the Symphony of the Air.
Thank you.
What a ravishing movement. The second movement, Larghetto, Arthur Rubinstein with Alfred Wallenstein in the second movement of Chopin's F minor concerto, opus 21. Let's follow the Chopin concerto with a tiny mazurka, Chopin's opus 33, number 3. And it's from a recital from early 1953 at the Frick Museum, New York. And it's played by William Capel. From the Frick Museum, one of the last American recitals by the ill-fated pianist William Capel. It was the mazurka Opus 33, number 3, played with style. I thought so. It's hard to fathom that George Gershwin lived only 38 years. His music is as fresh today as on the day of its creation. Oscar Levant was a foremost Gershwin player. Just listen to the zing of his variations on I Got Rhythm by Gershwin. A great Gershwin conductor is Morton Gould and his orchestra.
Thank you.
Oscar Levant, that fabulous personality of radio, movies, the written word. He was a truly witty and very droll guy. He was a composer himself, studied with Schoenberg, imagine, and he was one of Gershwin's best friends. We had a wonderful shower of pianism in George's I Got Rhythm, variations for piano and orchestra from his song. Morton Gould conducting his orchestra. In Carnegie Hall during the 40s, Horowitz recorded himself at his own expense some of his recitals just so he could hear how he was doing. On one of those concerts, he played Poulenc's Intermezzo, and he was a good friend of Poulenc, and Poulenc was always in love with Horowitz's pianism. Let's listen to the great master pianist, Volodya Horowitz, in the Intermezzo by Francis Poulenc. The Intermezzo No. 2 by Poulenc, played wonderfully, I think, by Vladimir Horowitz, who knew the composer, and the composer dedicated one of his pieces. I think it was the Toccata to Horowitz. Not sure of that. Let's get together next week. I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have. This is by Max Picard. A man is always as good as the good which appears in his face, but he need not be as evil as the evil which appears in his face, because evil does not always realize itself immediately. Instead, many times, evil will never realize itself. Thank goodness. This is David Dubois. Thank you for listening. The Piano Matters is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. The associate producer and engineer is Rachel Katz. For a complete playlist, log on to wwfm.org and click on Playlist. The Piano Matters is made possible in part from the support of the listener members of WWFM, the Classical Network.